people on the other side of the planet. What's the point of appointing a woman director of national intelligence if she helps drone strike and displace other women? You know, if Biden cares about women, wouldn't it have been better to not support the Saudi-led genocide in Yemen that has forced critical essential services and clinics to shut down, leaving scores of women without the necessary medical services that they require? As Eric London writes a few weeks ago, quote, "These servants of Wall Street and U.S. imperialism have nothing in common with the working people of their own race, gender, or sexual orientation. It is class, not identity, which is the fundamental dividing line in American society." This intersectional imperialism is just a facade in order to continue the same brutal policies of the U.S. empire, exploiting workers, killing and robbing people of color, all for the enrichment of the corporate elites. This pandering is an attempt to portray Biden's incoming administration as being more inclusive and diverse, implying that its tenure will be more in tune to the needs of these same minorities. But at the end of the day, these cabinet picks are all part of the same DC clique. They've spent their entire careers serving corporate interests and climbing the political ladder, and the last thing on their minds is serving the needs of their constituents, never mind those of their same race, gender, or orientation. Many people around the globe are rightfully cautious and skeptical about anything changing under Biden, and very conscious of the fact that the American empire continues just as it is, regardless of who is in the driver's seat. It's time, perhaps, for Americans to wake up to that as well. Thank you for tuning in. I'm Richard Medhurst, and this is The Communique.
In the limelight.
Most Americans want Trump himself to be reprimanded for his role in instigating thousands of his supporters to breach the United States Capitol building on Wednesday, January 7th, according to a new poll. Dear listeners, stay with us for an article in this regard written by Chris Walker Ryder. This article is published under the heading, "Poll Shows Most Americans Think Trump Deserves to be Removed After Capitol Chaos." Here's the details of this article. Most Americans want Trump himself to be reprimanded for his role in instigating thousands of his supporters to breach the United States Capitol building on Wednesday, January 7th, according to a new poll. According to a YouGov direct poll conducted earlier this week, 50% of respondents said it would be appropriate for Trump to be removed from office immediately for his role in the breach of the Capitol building, while 42% said it would be inappropriate. Most of that opposition comes from Republican respondents. While 83% of Democratic-leaning participants and 47% of independents said they view Trump's removal as appropriate, only 10% of Republicans agreed with them. 85% of GOP respondents did not think it would be appropriate to remove Trump from office. Asked whether they supported or opposed the Capitol breach, just 21% of respondents said they were somewhat or strongly in support of it, with 71% saying they strongly or somewhat oppose what happened. Republican-leaning respondents in the poll, however, were more split, with 45% voicing support for the events last week and 43% saying they opposed. Nearly 6 in 10 Americans also described the events as violent, according to the poll. Meanwhile, close to 6 in 10 Republicans called the Capitol breach, which saw at least 5 individuals die in the melee, as peaceful. The poll found similar partisan divides when it came to assigning blame for the storming of the Capitol. While 66% of Americans overall put a great deal or some blame on Trump for encouraging his mob of loyalists to break into the Capitol in a violent manner, only 28% of Republicans said he was at fault. A majority of Republicans questioned in the poll. 52% of GOP-leaning respondents said Joe Biden was to blame. On Wednesday, January 7th, Trump hosted a rally near the White House just hours before Congress planned to certify electors' votes from the 2020 presidential election. He repeated lies about the election being rife with fraud and encouraged his mob of loyalists to walk down to the Capitol while Congress was certifying the Electoral College votes. Trump also told them that they would never take back the U.S. with weakness. More than 130 lawmakers in Washington have called for Trump's removal for his role in Wednesday, January 7th events through either the impeachment process or by Vice President Mike Pence, invoking Section 4 of the 25th Amendment. On Thursday, January 8th, Republican Ilhan Omar issued a resolution calling for Trump's removal, citing his abuse of the powers of the presidency to incite violence and orchestrate an attempt coup against the U.S. Several other Democratic lawmakers, including other members of the group of legislators collectively known as the Squad, signed on as co-sponsors of the bill. Both Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer and Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi have called on Vice President Mike Pence to begin the process of invoking the 25th Amendment, which would empower him and a majority of the president's cabinet to remove Trump from power. If Pence doesn't pursue this road, both Democratic leaders have signaled they could try to immediately remove the president from the office themselves. If the Vice President and the Cabinet do not act, the Congress may be prepared to move forward with impeachment, Pelosi said in a statement on Thursday, January 8. Impeachment, rather than the 25th Amendment, could prevent Trump from holding federal office again. According to Article 1, Section 3 of the U.S. Constitution, the Senate can, in addition to removing a person from office, also disqualify an individual from being able to hold and enjoy any office of honor, trust, or profit under the United States.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
Viewpoints.
With the presence of different scholars.
The presence of different scholars from IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is Viewpoints. You are listening to And with me in the studio are two experts, two Islamic scholars from the Islamic House of Qom, Brother Ali Alavian and Said Mohsen Naghvi. This series of viewpoints is concerned with the speeches and thoughts of the Supreme Leader of Iran, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei. Before anything, let's say salam to the experts over here. Sayyid Mohsen, salam alaikum, brother, and welcome to the show.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thanks for inviting.
You're welcome, and brother Alavian, salam alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Thanks for having me here.
You're welcome, brother. You know that 1 year have passed the martyrdom of General Qasem Soleimani, who was killed in a drone attack by the U.S. last year. And for the commemoration ceremony of this dear general of Iran, Brother Mahmoud, the producer of this program, tried to dedicate this series of the program to the speeches and thoughts of Supreme Leader of Iran, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, about General Soleimani. You know, on different occasions after the martyrdom and even in the first commemoration ceremony, a leader has talked about Qasem Soleimani and talked about his main attributes. But before getting to the attributes enumerated by the leader, let me ask you, Sayyid Mohsen, why General Qasem Soleimani had such a high position in the eyes of Supreme Leader of Iran, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Well, obviously, one thing which we need to keep in our minds is the criteria of looking at a person is taqwa, basically.
That's right.
And if you want to see a person, whether he is a good person or bad, you must look whether he is pious or he is muttaqi or not.
That's right.
Is he God-weary or not?
Okay.
General Qasem Soleimani, obviously, from the beginning, when there was a war between Iran and Iraq, the 8 years war against the Saddam regime, in that time and in the history, over the time, he showed that he was a God-weary person. And he fought for Islam. His, we can say, like, he was concerned about the Islam, the expansion of Islam, and not just the Islam, the mere Islam, but the true Muhammadan Islam.
That's right.
And anyone who has such a characteristic, such a thinking, obviously, he must have, he must be seen as a good person in the eyes of the scholars.
Okay.
Supreme Leader also, obviously, he's trying to expand the Muhammadan Islam, and
right.
he is the leader of the Muslim Ummah.
Yeah.
So in the Muslim Ummah, if you find such a person who, without his personal, we can say, like, aims or goals,
right.
is fighting and living for the Islam itself, so obviously this kind of person
okay.
should be seen as a
right.
good person.
As he himself said in his memoir, said, I was going to enter the Iran-Iraq war for just only a 15-day mission, but I stayed over there. It was a temporary mission, okay, at the very beginning when he was young, and just, we can say, just recruited by IRGC on that time. But up until the end of his life, he was, we can say, a trustworthy member of the IRGC. Now, what's your take on that, Brother Ali? Why, you know, Supreme Leader of Iran, we can say, and we know that it is very grievous for the leader, and it was very sad for the nation, and it was clear exactly from the prayer, we can say, that the leader did on the body of, we can say, Sardar, the general in Tehran. That was really a sad moment, and it showed that this general, Qasem Soleimani, had a very specific position. And we know that after the Islamic Revolution, he was the only person who was given the Zulfiqar Medal by the leader, and he was called as the Sepahbod. This was the only time that a person was given this kind of medal by the leader of Iran. This shows his high positions. What's your take on that, brother?
Yeah, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allah's peace and blessing be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, and his purified progeny. In addition to what the dear Sayyid mentioned, that he's being pious and a God-fearing person, I want to add some other features that made him to be loved by people and the leader specifically.
Right.
One was that actually he had a purity of intention in all of these fronts that he had been.
That's right.
That is, he was doing his works, all the jobs and the assignments that have been given to him through a purity of intention. And he did not look at the ranks, let's say political and social ranks, that or positions that he could have. it is quite clear for the people, specifically Iranian, that he had the chance even to be the president of the country sometime.
Okay.
And there were some rumors that he's going to be nominated for the presidential
but he
election.
He never showed love toward
actually,
political actions.
He never loved
okay.
to be in these mm-hmm. positions.
Think,
and
we can say he did not have the love towards the political actions.
Yes.
There is a different meaning of politics in Islam.
Okay.
The one we have.
No, no, I mean, I mean
not
political.
Have to this
yeah.
material word or the status
yeah.
or the chair or
very
usually.
True.
But in the presidential sense of the word,
yes.
or become, for example, he said that I do not belong to any political line.
Mm.
Okay, whether be it right or wrong. He was a revolutionary in the true sense of the word. Okay.
Very true. So he had the chance to be actually to be elected for any of these high-ranking positions in the government or in the country, but he was unwilling to go for these, let's say, jobs and positions. Moreover, he could have, because he was a retired person from IRGC, and he could go for, like any other people, to do his own business and start a business.
That's
and
right.
to be involved in the
yeah.
economy of the country, like any of any other, let's say, retired people from armed forces.
That's right.
But he, again, did not like that.
He loved to be in the field.
He preferred to
That's right.
be at the
okay.
service of people, not only Iranian, but I can say human beings in general,
yeah.
because he was giving his services to most of the countries around us, to
Definitely.
Iraqis, to Afghans, to Syrians, to Lebanese, and I can say to the whole resistance line.
Yes.
So all of them were benefited from the helps of this, let's say, beloved general.
He was for 22 years the commander of the International Quds Force,
mm-hmm.
which is the international cancer section of the IRGC.
Mm-hmm.
And this is very difficult, and some say that the security and the safety of the Iranian borders were upon the, we can say, Quds, which is, of course, considered as a terrorist organization
mm-hmm.
and the blacklist of the U.S. But we all know that what Soleimani was doing in Syria and Iraq was acting against ISIS. And both, they say, we know that in the U.S. magazines, in Newsweek here and there, they call him the shadow general.
Very true.
And the shadow general is the person who is over the present in the field action, I mean physically speaking, but they cannot track him, nor by ISIS, neither by ISIS nor by, we can say, the U.S. And what he did in that region was really great.
Moreover, mm-hmm. Look, inside the country, he did not actually limit himself to be inside the political parties or groups.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, he was looking at these political parties from above. So this is something that not only the leader, but also the, I mean, ordinary people, commonly people can actually prefer this kind of behavior, that a person does not actually pay attention to these, let's say, political tendencies, which most of them have no basis, I can say. So the right path, which has been shown by Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayhi, is quite clear for all of us.
That's right.
And I don't know, in these, let's say, conflicts that we periodically see between different parties,
okay.
to what extent can be, I don't know, defendable. It's up to them to defend.
Okay.
And also, this kind of look was not limited also to Iran. Even to the countries that he was giving services, like Iraq, he was looking at the people,
That's right.
not inside the parties. For example, he was working with different opposing parties and groups in Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
So it means that he could actually make a good communication and relation with different people. So this is an art. Look, a person like me might
okay.
be able just to work with some limited group of people.
Mm-hmm.
This is because I don't have the art to be in touch, or let's say have, efficient
but
communication
I
with
think
different
right.
people.
So I think he was beyond
yes.
the countries that he has
That's
provided
right.
services because,
yeah.
you know, he was a freedom fighter.
Yeah, he was a freedom fighter.
He
That's
was
right.
a freedom fighter.
Yeah.
He fought for the freedom. Like
yes.
the Saddam regime
yes.
has imposed the war. The Americans imposed the war.
Yes.
Now, this is, it looks
but
funny
when
for
Lebanese
me.
The Lebanese 33-day
yes.
war happened.
Ahsan.
That's right.
It looks very funny for me, like when America says, like, because the Quds force is fighting beyond the border
yes.
in order to protect their country, they
mm-hmm.
are the terrorist groups, whereas the American troops, they can go all around the world and they do not call them as a terrorist.
This is the picture that the media is making, you know. When Trump has killed him, we can say, and it was the violation of international laws. All know, and Trump must wait for the consequences, okay? This was a violation of international laws. When Trump killed him, he has called Soleimani a monster, okay? This was a picture that was made by the media in America and Europe out of Soleimani. But when you go to the we can say, these oppressed countries...
Well, he was a monster for the CIA, the American forces and the troops,
okay,
and their allies, obviously.
Yeah.
Because, you know, throughout these 22 years,
yes,
or 40 years of the revolution,
yes, yeah,
he was protecting this country from outside.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And obviously, this was a big deal for them.
Yes.
That they cannot obviously tackle one person,
mm-hmm,
which is, that's why they call him the General of Shadow. Or
yes, Shadow General.
The Shadow,
right,
General.
Okay.
So that's why they call him, because
mm-hmm
they couldn't do anything of
that's
him.
That's right. But you know, the thing that they don't understand is that Soleimani was not a James Bond 007, okay? For them, Soleimani was like acting like an intelligent serviceman, okay?
Yes.
Intelligence man, like, you know, a James Bond thing. No, he was not, okay? The character that was nurtured and educated inside the Islamic Revolution for the family side, the political side, the social side, is very, very much different. And unfortunately, they don't understand this.
And we can see, like, in his personal life, obviously, as you
yes
mentioned, he was a good man, a good husband, a good father,
yes,
a good neighbor.
Yes.
And he was really, he was nurtured and mentored by the good teachers like
yes
Imam Khomeini.
Yes.
And Rahbar himself, like the
yeah
supreme leader
yeah
as well. So we have, I don't know, we have this phrase in Urdu,
yes,
basically, you know, because you started the question, the program with the
yes
question that why Rahbar or
yes
the supreme leader loves him so
yes
much. We have this phrase like, jisne, usko chutti na mili jisne sabak yaad kiya.
Which means,
usko chutti na mili. He never have a holiday, a person, never have a day off. Jisne sabak yaad. Sabak, you know, in Persian we say to the lecture or lesson. Who have learned his lesson properly, he never have a day off in his life.
Yes.
So, you
yes
know, the students who learn a lot, who learn, even on the day when they're off, they have to go to the work. For example, we had this scientist, Fakhrizadeh, Shahid
yes
Fakhrizadeh.
Mohsen Fakhrizadeh.
Mohsen Fakhrizadeh.
Yes.
Obviously, if there was a holiday, for example, the Friday, which is a holiday, if there was a work, he was going there.
Yeah.
So
okay
those who learn their lessons properly... And Shahid Qasim Soleimani properly learned his lessons. That's why after the 8-year wars,
mm-hmm,
he couldn't sit at home,
mm-hmm,
because he have learned the lesson how to defend the Islamic State.
That's right.
And what to do,
okay,
and how to be, we can say, like a defender.
That's right.
So that's why every day he
okay
was involved in these things.
Thank you very much. I think we are done for today's episode. We'll get to the more characteristics of Shahid Qasim Soleimani in upcoming session of the program Viewpoints. Said Mohsen Naghvi and Ali Alavian, thank you very much for presence in this program.
Thank you, brother.
And dear audience, thank you very much for listening to this episode of Viewpoints. Don't forget to visit our website, parstudio.com/Ian Khan of Islam page, or our YouTube page, Khan of Islam Radio. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
اصطفاك واجتباك للخلود في ثراك للقاك هل أعود أو وراك في سماك من جديد ذات يوم فيه قبري عند قبرك ويشم الناس روحانا بعطرك إن روحي الآن كم تشتاق وصلك قد تأخرت كثيرا توت بعدك من دماك لعلاك يا شهيد اصطفاك واجتباك للخلود في ثراك للقاك هل أعود أو وراك في سماك من جديد
عاش لا يزار أو بقايا من وصايا الكثار بالشهادات أنت حققت انتصار وانتظرت أنا لألحق بالمسار اندماك لعناك يا شهيد اصطفاك واجتباك للخلود في ثراك للقاك هل أعود وراك في سماك من جديد
Food for thought.
Hello, dear friends, and let us start the day by pondering on an aphorism from Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him. Incapacity is a catastrophe. Endurance is bravery. Abstinence is riches, self-restraint is a shield against sin, and the best companion is submission to Allah's will.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
Please log on to our website www.parstoday.com/en.
Thank you. over the past 2 months, several Israeli firms have been targeted with a ransomware variant called Pay2Key. Pay2Key is a relatively new ransomware variant first spotted in November by Checkpoint Research, an American-Israeli multinational provider of software. Now, security firm ClearSky says the crypto-locking malware is linked to FoxKitten. The Israeli-based ClearSky cybersecurity firm estimates, with medium to high confidence, that Pay2Key is a new operation conducted by FoxKitten, an Iranian APT group that began a new wave of attacks in November to December 2020 that entailed dozens of Israeli companies. The hacking group published documents related to firms using the US-based cybersecurity firm Portnox's services. These companies included Bezek, Elbit, Elal, the Clalit health provider, and dozens of other firms and companies, according to the Ynet news site. At least 80 business and corporations of in the highest echelons of industry, including military, cybersecurity, airlines, media, and others. The hackers, according to Israeli media, successfully hacked into Israel's regime-owned Israel Aerospace Industries, which is an Israeli military contractor. The attack also hit Amital Data, which provides its Unifreight logistics software, and at least 40 of its clients. Another target was Habana Labs, which produces processors and works under the US-based Intel company, a Dow Jones-listed public semiconductor giant. The firms are some of Israel's most prominent companies. Pay2Key said it seized almost 1 terabyte of data and has published just 3 gigabytes of it. The documents it released included a 15-page report from 2018 that detailed weaknesses at Elbit, a major Israeli defense company, according to the Walla news site. Israel's Portnox Networks, a computers and cybersecurity firm, was also hit hard. Portnox said in response to reports of the attack, several hours ago, it was published that our internal servers may have been breached by a group known as Pay2Key. We are currently conducting an intensive investigation in order to understand the scope of the event. Then in November 2020, the first wave of the attack on Israel began. That's when hackers began leaking information via Telegram and dark web site. This is known as the first wave of attacks. Then this month, the second one started. Multiple companies, including supply chain attacks and leaks via Twitter. This is the fifth cyber attack on Israel during 2020, including one that targeted its water infrastructure in April. In April 2020, a cyber attack targeted agricultural water pumps in northern Israel, while the other struck infrastructure in the center of Israel, according to the British Financial Times paper. The Pay2Key hacker group usually asks for payments of 7 to 9 bitcoins or $189,000 to $243,000. According to cybersecurity researchers, the ransomware is sophisticated and the first of its kind with no overlaps with other known ransomware strains. Apparently, it has been created from scratch, and it is currently unclear who developed the ransomware and why they are targeting only Israeli companies. But this is all ironic, as Israel has always bragged about being one of the global leaders in cyber weapons. In fact, the Israeli regime itself has even eased rules on cyber weapons exports despite criticism.
What not to do is to get in the way of the business side of it. Now, it's impossible not to regulate somewhat, but my principal role has been not to over-regulate. And guess what? The minute this industry begins to percolate and grow and overflow, then the demands for regulating it, as you would regulate a weapons industry, abound. But I think we have to take the risk, and it's a considerable risk, of regulating less in order to grow more. And that's the decision that I have taken and that Israel has taken.
But that was a bunch of nonsense. Israeli companies who have military ties have spied on many journalists and human rights advocates. Their technology has even been used by the United Arab Emirates and Saudi Arabia, for example, to target and kill dissidents. According to American whistleblower, living in exile former National Security Agency NSA, contractor Edward Snowden and Israeli cyber malware firm was enabled the murder of Saudi dissident Jamal Khashoggi in Turkey. Snowden, who is currently living in Russia after he leaked secret documents about U.S. telephone and internet surveillance in 2013, explains how the company works.
They go by the name of the NSO. And it works like this. They send you a time-sensitive text message, and it's got a link in it. It's something that you have that, you know, human impulse. You see it, you go, oh, goodness, I need to check that and see what's going on with this. As soon as you click the link, and everybody clicks the link because they can try this 100 different times in 100 different ways, always from a different number, your phone now belongs to whoever sent you that message. Everything in the entire history of your phone, they can immediately copy. Everything that happens on your phone from that day forward, every place you go, everyone you call, everything you read, every photo you take, every audio note that's been on that, or actually because they can turn the microphone on remotely.
By 2018, Israel's NSO group spyware company's Pegasus software was being used in 45 countries, according to Citizen Lab, targeting activists in Bahrain, Kazakhstan, Saudi Arabia, the United Arab Emirates, and Mexico. In 2019, the U.S.-based social media company Facebook sued Israeli cyber surveillance firm NSO Group, saying it hacked over 1,400 users of its messaging platform WhatsApp earlier that year. The hacking spree targeted journalists, diplomats, human rights activists, political dissidents, senior government officials, and others, Facebook said in its lawsuit.
So these softwares that NSO is marketing as tools to prevent terror and crime are used against human rights defenders and lawyers and doctors and members of parliament. We are not criminals and we are not terrorists. And when the Ministry of Defense in Israel allows this to happen, it endangers millions of people around the world.
But when Israel is hacked, it cries wolf and almost always blames Iran. In this latest attack, their Israeli media have pointed the finger at Iran. Of course, this isn't the first time, and such accusations have also been instigated from the top. But the latest hack attack on Israel has left Israeli cybersecurity firms flabbergasted and several industries in a mess. OP Innovate CEO Omer Pinsker, who led the research, and Shay Pinsker are aiding a number of Israeli firms as part of their response teams, according to Israel's Haaretz newspaper. There you have it. Israel, an entity that brags about its cyber criminal activity but can't protect its own infrastructure in the face of a group of hackers that it can't even identify.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Dear listeners, dear brothers and sisters, Salamun Alaikum. So welcome to this program. Today's special. We're going to speak about the struggle against the self, or Jihadun Nafs. So I invite you to be with today's special.
you, I felt that God answered my call. There was that one place I always thought about, and I just wanted to be there with you. The place that no eye has ever seen, the place that no heart has ever perceived. I had a great feeling inside of me that one day I'd be there with you. And now that we're here, feeling so good.
Today, Sunday, is the 26th of Jamadi al-Awwal, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 21st of Day, 1399 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 10th of January, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. This is the first step of today's special, so we bless our program with the recitation of Surah Anbiya from the Holy Quran, verses 34 to 35. Let's listen to it.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Wa ma ja'alna li basharin min qablika al-khuld. أَفَإِن مِتَّ فَهُمُ الْخَالِدُونَ.
And we did not grant to any man before you eternity on earth. So if you die, would they be eternal?
كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ وَنَبْلُوكُمْ بِالشَّرِّ وَالْخَيْرِ فِتْنَةً وَإِلَيْنَا تُرْجَعُونَ.
Every soul will taste death, and we test you with evil and with good as trial, and to us you will be returned.
لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Your main abode has not been assigned in this world. It is somewhere else. You have come here only for taking examinations, and after the end of the examinations and gaining the necessary development, you will go to your main abode, the world of the hereafter. By the way, Amir al-Mu'mineen, Imam Ali alayhi salam, said, health and self-sufficiency is good, and sickness and poverty is evil, and both of them are for trial.
I know I'm waiting, waiting for something, something to happen to me. This waiting comes with trials and challenges. Nothing in life is free. I wish that somehow you tell me out aloud that on that day I'll be okay. But we'll never know, 'cause that's not the way it was. Help me find my way.
What is the struggle against the self? That's a good question. Imam Ali alayhi salam said, one who struggles against himself so as to obey God in the eyes of God, his station is that of a pious martyr. Self is our biggest and most staunch enemy, who is permanently and continuously at war with reason. By listening to satanic whispers, he attacks the reason together with his soldiers to get it isolated and ultimately silenced, so that he becomes sole contender in the battlefield. His single goal is to force out Allah's favorite angels from the heart's kingdom and helping Satan to take over his absolute control. Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In this episode, we are going to talk about jihad against our carnal desires. The Holy Quran in the Surah Yusuf indicates it in this way. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Inna nafsa la'ammaratun bis-su' illa ma rahima rabbi. The soul or the carnal desire, the carnal desires direct people to doing unfavorable things, to committing vices or being a vile personality. In contrast to this, we find that whereas there are carnal desires in everybody, we find that there are some other forces in everybody, I mean some divine forces or some divinely determined forces in everybody, that shows that the best ways for reaching perfection can be attained by combating against carnal desires. For example, committing some sins may have some, may receive some inspirations, or one may receive some satanic temptations in order to commit some sins, while the reality is that through committing those crimes or those sins, we will be moving away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hence, in order to be as close as possible to the divine nature inherent in us, we've been advised to combat against the carnal desires. And this is a phase or an aspect or a move in the way of reaching the stage of combating our carnal desires or performing jihad against our carnal desires.
My life is not the same when I'm too concerned by what they say. Why should I wanna have you? To doubt you would be the worst mistake. Deep inside I know that amidst all the darkness and everything which makes no sense, I know that you exist. You are the light, guides me through my darkest night, shows me right from wrong. That often lies, 'cause I don't need anyone, anything in life but you. No, I don't need anyone to show me my way. No, I don't need anyone but you.
Piety and the self. What's the relationship between them? Imam Ali alayhi salam said, piety is shelter for you in this world and will be a source of prosperity and salvation in the hereafter. The piety has been introduced as a positive virtue, a powerful force introducing restraint and immunity, and an important preventing factor. It should be compared to a bridle used for training a mulish force for riding, or restraining and controlling the whims and passionate of a rebellious self. It is like a formidable fortress and firm fortification would protect a human being from the devastating attacks of internal enemies. That is the unlawful selfish whims and passionate and satanic whispers. It is like a shield which protects a struggle in the battlefield from the piercing of poisonous arrows and other satanic devastating blows.
Every time I close my eyes, I see in front of me. I still can hear your voice calling out my name. And I remember all the stories you told me. I miss the time you were around. I miss the time you were around. But I'm so grateful for every moment
spent with you, 'cause I know life won't last forever.
We reach to the steps of a struggle against the self. This is today's special from IRIB English Radio. Will and resolve. Firm resolve is the essence of humanity and basic requirement to attain freedom from the domination of evil desires. The will that is required at this stage is synonymous with laying the foundation of a good life. The warrior in this battle of the self should purge himself from sins, perform all obligatory acts, make an intention to compensate for the days lost in sinfulness, and finally, resolve to behave as a rational religious person and a real human being. His manners should be an imitation of the Prophet's life, and he should follow the Prophet in all his abstinence and choices. All these cannot be achieved unless he learns the laws of Sharia and follows them faithfully. Inshallah.
The nafs is like a vampire. What do vampires do? I'm sure you've seen a lot of vampire movies and a lot of vampire series. What do vampires do? Do they just kill? They don't just kill. They turn another person into a what? Into a vampire. When the nafs over-defeats the mind, it doesn't just kill the mind, but it gets the mind to work for the nafs. The mind becomes a culprit. The mind begins to help the nafs perform its desires and achieve its desires. That is why Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam states, كَمْ مِنْ عَقْلٍ أَسِيرٍ عَنْدَ هَوَنْ أَمِيرٍ. How many minds are arrested, are captivated by a controlling nafs? When the nafs takes control, the mind is paralyzed. Not only is it paralyzed, but it will begin to serve the nafs. For example, the nafs will say, I'd like to steal. The mind will think of the best and most deceitful ways to steal. The nafs wants to commit adultery. The mind will think of the most deceptive ways and most secretive ways to commit adultery. The mind will become a slave to the nafs, and it will obey its commands.
I think this topic we talked about is so interesting. There was the struggle against the self, or jihad on nafs. So we continue, inshallah, on the next episode of today's special. Till then, tomorrow, have a nice time. Fi amanillah.
Yourself. Can't you see this wonder spread in front of you? The clouds floating by, the sky so clear and blue, planets in their orbits, the moon and the sun, such perfect harmony. Let's start questioning ourselves, isn't this proof enough for us?
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.